Hebrews chapter number 10. This was our theme verse for the month of April. And not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, right? Is that right? I'm not looking at it. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is our theme verse, but we're going to back up a little bit. And we're going to add verse number 22 and read verse number 22, 23, 24, and 25. So let's read this together. You can just follow along as I read to you. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless as we look at his word this morning. Lord, we thank you for today and the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, God, for the wonderful time of fellowship that we had as we gathered downstairs and enjoyed an amazing breakfast. We thank you for those that labored to prepare it, Lord, for the church that was able to provide it. We ask you, Lord, that you would now, as we open the bread of life, as we take a few moments to be fed from the word of God, I pray, Lord, you'd give us the physical strength to endure, to listen. Lord, don't let the weariness of our body keep the message of the word of God from sinking into our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd feed us, that you'd speak to us, that you'd strengthen us for having gathered today in your house. And we'll thank you, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The mandate of membership is kind of what we'll be looking at this morning. You know, I believe in the church. I believe in the church. Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I believe God wants every saved, born-again, Bible-believing person to be in a good, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing church. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. That's where we ought to be. We ought to be in church. And I know that things happen, and I know sometimes you get discouraged, and I know sometimes men let you down, and I know sometimes offenses arise, but none of those things should keep a Bible-believing, God-loving, God-honoring Christian from going to church. And I think you ought to find the church that God wants you in, and you ought to join, and you ought to get active, and you ought to be a part of it. I believe you ought to serve like many people did this morning, came and served at the church. They served you breakfast, but they were serving their Savior. That's what they were doing. Have you ever heard why fire trucks are red? Well, let me tell you. Somebody wrote this. Fire trucks are red. You see, they have four wheels and they have eight firefighters. And 4 + 8 = 12, and there are 12 inches in a foot. A foot is a ruler, and Queen Elizabeth is a ruler. And Queen Elizabeth is one of the largest ships on the seven seas. And seas have fish, and fish have fins. The Finns fought against Russia, and the Russians are red. Fire trucks are always rushing around, so that's why they're red. And if you think that's a convoluted explanation, you ought to hear people explain why they're missing church. We always come up with something, right? The church is to be part of our lives. Last year, I taught for 10 weeks on the matters of membership, dealing with what it means to be a member at Hunt Valley Baptist Church, and that membership does matter. I want to encourage you, if you're not a member, to become a member of Hunt Valley Baptist Church. You come here, you're fed here, you grow here, you're encouraged here, you're strengthened here. Well, why not join here? You join up down at Sam's Club and at Costco and at the BP, and you sign on the dotted line so you can save 2 cents a gallon over at the Chevron station, and you carry around extra cards for every other organization there is out there, and you sign up to be a member for everything that you can possibly think of. But when we come to God's house, oh, I'm not going to sign up. I'm not going to be a member. Matter of fact, I've been coming here seven years, and I pride the fact that nobody knows my address. There's just people that are they're excited about it. Nope, nobody knows. I don't tell people where I live. Yet when you buy something on Amazon, they know where you live. You know, Amazon has a service now where they have a door knob that they give you that that you can, your mailman actually knows the code to, and he can get in and put your package inside so that it doesn't get stolen. And it's all tracked, it's all, you know, digital, and when they come to the house to deliver the package, it's all on video. It shows them coming in, delivering the package, leaving, locking the door. It's all recorded, supposed to be really safe. There's people all over the place that will sign up for something like that, but they won't sign up for church. I don't know. I don't understand it. I believe God gave himself for the church. We ought to love the church. I believe that for a believer, somebody that says that they're saved and on their way to heaven, to not go to church, I believe they have to quench the Holy Spirit. I think it's something that God puts in the heart of a believer. Once you're saved, you desire to be in God's house. You desire to be around other believers. You desire to be there and be fed from the Word of God. And I think that as the Holy Spirit prompts you and says, man, you ought to be going to church, that what has to happen if somebody's going to go to church, they have to not go to church. They have to quench that. They have to put that aside. They say, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Earl Allen, in his group, I mean, in his book, written in 1979, entitled Jesus Loves Me, he told about a group of men that were discussing the church. And as they were discussing the church, a pastor was walking by. Have you ever been pulled into a conversation that you weren't planning to be a part of? The pastor was walking by, and these two men were discussing church. And he was just walking by, and he heard one of the men say, hey, we'll settle this right now. And he turns and he says, Pastor, hey, could you tell me, isn't it possible for you to be saved and never go to church? And the pastor stopped for just a minute, and he says, you know what? Biblically, you're right. That is correct. You could be saved and on your way to heaven and never go to church. And he says, see, I told you you could go to heaven and never go to church. And they turned and started walking away, and the pastor said, hey, fellas, can I ask you something? And they turned around, and he said, let me ask you. If you have no interest in going to church where they talk about God, where they sing praises to God, where they fellowship with the believers, where they encourage one another, why are you interested in going to heaven? Because that's what they do in heaven. Why are you interested in heaven in the first place if you have no interest in church? It is possible to be a Christian, to be saved, and not go to God's house. But it is not possible to be a godly Christian and not go to God's house. Yes, you can be saved and on your way to heaven. The Bible talks about people like that. They're saved so as by fire, as in they just missed the fire of hell by the skin of their teeth. Yes, they're saved. They're not going to have to spend an eternity in hell, but it's impossible to be a godly Christian, a growing Christian, without being in a good Bible-believing church. You need to be in a Bible-believing church. Somebody wrote it like this. They said, being a Christian without going to church is like being a student and never going to school. Like being a soldier and not joining the army. A salesman without any customers, a seaman without any ships. An author without a reader. Or a football player without a team. You see, are you getting the idea that a church is part of a Christian's life? I want you to see three things that are given to us here, and I preached a series of messages on the let us of the Scriptures. I'm actually not quite done with it. There's a couple more I'll be dealing with at some point, but in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22, the first thing here he says, let us draw near. You see, a church is a place of consecration. It's a place that begins with a relationship. He says, let us draw near. There's a relationship that's established. You see, in order to be a member of a church, you've got at the beginning thing is you got to be saved. You got to have a relationship with God the Father. You got to know that you're on your way to heaven. You know, you don't want to draw near to somebody that you don't know. I mean, especially Americans. You know, the Rodriguezes were just in China, and I'm sure if they rode any public transportation, they pack them in. Most countries are that way, but in America, we like our space, especially from people we don't know. right? I mean, I could be on a train with my son, and my son and I would be sitting like this to put as much room between us and the next person that's there, right? Come on now. You guys awake? Had too much syrup. It's starting to sink in. The sugar high is coming down. You see, we like our space. We don't want to be close to or draw near to somebody that we don't know. This is talking about somebody that you have a relationship with, somebody that you know personally. You, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, starts at salvation. He says, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from the evil conscience, and our bodies, what's the last four words? Washed with pure water. Have you been washed? Have you been washed with pure water? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You guys know it? Let's sing it. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you sworn? Heartless are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been washed? Been washed with pure water, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, that gave himself a sacrifice for you so you can be washed. It starts with the relationship that is established. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When you have a relationship, you want to draw near. Matthew 7 tells us that not everyone that knows God is going to enter heaven. Not everybody that knows about God. There's a lot of people that know about God. They may even say, boy, isn't God good? They may even praise God occasionally. They might know about God. But you see, it starts when you have an opportunity to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through the salvation and in him and him alone. That's where it starts. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. What is the will of the Father? I know that he said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Father wants everybody to be saved. It starts with a relationship that's established. David tells us in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What is the last phrase of Psalms 23? And I will what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hey, church service is only a couple hours a week, right? David said, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He wanted to draw near to God. He wanted to be near him. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But it starts with what? The Lord is my shepherd. You see, there's a lot of people that might know about God. They can call him a shepherd. But until they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they've been born again and washed by the blood of the Lamb. They're not his, he's not their shepherd. That's what the Bible says. It starts with a relationship that's established. Once your relationship's established, then you get to enjoy it. Then you get to enjoy that relationship. You get to draw near unto God. Let us draw near. That's what we do at church. We draw near to his presence. What would you think of a young couple, a guy and a girl that were interested in each other? Began dating. And then all of a sudden, the guy says, well, I can't come over today to see you because it's raining. Oh, no, I can't make it today because my brother's son's pet gerbil is sick and we have to watch the gerbil. No, I can't come over today because I had to work late last night, and I just don't feel like it. I think after a little while that his to-be would start wondering about his professed love, wouldn't you? I mean, it just makes sense to me. If we as Christians don't want to draw near to God, I think God might start wondering about our professed love. We're going to want to draw near. Let us draw near. Paul said, that I may know him. That I may know him. Paul wanted to know God. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you know the power of the resurrection? That has it changed you? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. There's been a great, great change since Jesus came into my heart. Do you know the power of the resurrection? That's the power of the resurrection for God to change you from the inside out. Amen? Amen. That's what God does, and he begins to change us. We draw near to him through the fellowship of his suffering, to know his suffering and be willing to suffer for him. I know that you don't have to go to church to be in God's presence. But I also know that in the context of this verse, he says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. He says, let us draw near. In the context of this passage of Scripture, he's talking about something that we do together as a group of believers. We are draw near to God. We read this morning Psalms 42. As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I think that if any Christian actually had that kind of a heart, there wouldn't be much that could keep them from the house of God. If your heart panted after. You know what? When I was dating my wife, she got done with school in 3.5 years. I took her time and added it to mine. She got done 3.5 years, so she went home at Christmas, and I was still in school, and she lived in Michigan, and it was a little over a 4-hour drive to her house. You know, every opportunity I got, I would take a cut day from school. You only get 5 cut days in a semester. If you miss number 6, even if it's an accident, if you miss number 6, you fail the semester. The entire thing is gone. If you miss more than 10 minutes of one class and you've already had 5 cut days, your semester's gone. You're starting over. And I would take a cut day, get out of bed at 5:45 in the morning because that's the earliest you could get up. You couldn't get up before 5:45. I'd get up at 5:45, get in the car, and drive 4 hours to see her for a few hours. And then get in the car, drive 4 hours, and be back and clocked in before 11 o'clock because you couldn't be out past 11 o'clock. Because my heart panteth after her. Come on. Amen. If we desire God like that, there won't be much that could keep us from church. Let us draw near. This is where we are pointed to God in a very powerful way. We sing about him. We pray to him. The word of God is preached to us, and we serve him. The church is where we draw close. Not only is it a place of consecration, it's a place of construction. A place of construction. Hebrews 10, verse number 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We are to hold fast. At the church, our faith is built. The different building blocks of our faith are forged, shaped, and placed by the Spirit of God into our life to build us into what God wants us to be. Building takes effort. It takes work. It takes exercise. And our faith is going to be exercised and strengthened in and through the local church. We're to hold fast without wavering. Wavering is wobbling or bending, falling under the pressure. You and I are to hold fast. You know, this world has many fierce winds that blow, things that blow against us. And if we're to hold fast to our faith and not be blown over, if we're to endure through the next storm, then we need to hold fast. And we do so by getting a faith that is strengthened in the house of God. I think it was last January, our theme verse, Ephesians 4:14-15, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, even the head, which is Christ. The first thing says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Wavering. Tossed to and fro by the storms of this life. You know, this life can blow a lot of winds at you. A lot of things can come at you. Some people in our church have endured just recently some major storms that have blown upon them. How is it that they hold fast to their faith? Your faith is strengthened by being in and being involved in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. We're not to be blown about by every wind that comes through. You know, the longer you hold on, the stronger you get. The church is your gym, and the pastor is your personal trainer. He's your personal trainer saying, come on, you can do it. Don't give in yet. Let's see one more. Let's go one more time. Can you make one more service for God? I'll tell you why, because it'll make you a stronger Christian. Hey, could you get out to Sunday school? Because we're studying the Word of God. And if you're wavering, if you're wondering a little bit, if the storms of life are blowing on you a little bit, you need to get here for Sunday school, because we want you to be strengthened in your faith. We want you to have a strong foundation. We want to build you up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't give up. Keep going on for God. Okay, let's see you do one more. Hey, I know you're discouraged. I know the devil comes and he attacks, and I know he's tempted you, but you don't have to quit. You can keep going. He's your personal trainer, and week after week I stand up here and try and encourage you in your faith and build you in your faith and grow you in your faith so that you are and will be what God wants you to be. I hope so. I hope you don't miss your ST. Your spiritual therapy. Some of you go to physical therapy and you're like, man, I can't miss my physical therapy. You know, he's going to come. He's going to work me out this week. Got to build that knee up. Right, Brother Garland? Got to build that knee. I mean, he liked to kill me last week. I know sometimes you come in for your ST, your spiritual therapy, and you're like, man, pastor, you like to kill me this week. You got to step in all over my toes, and you're preaching up at me. And I'm not trying to, but I'm trying to stretch your faith a little bit. I'm trying to help you grow. I'm trying to build you. I hope God uses his word and speaks to your heart and stirs you. And you shouldn't want to be what you were yesterday. You should desire to be more. Why does a guy, tell me, Abe, why does a guy go to the gym and work out over and over again? To be in better shape. To build muscles. To get buff. That's why he goes, because he desires to be stronger. He can bench press 70 pounds. He wants to be able to bench press 120. I had a friend in high school named Frank Escobar. At 15 years old, he could bench press 320 pounds. He desired to be a world-class weightlifter. But he got saved. God changed his heart. Quit spending all his time in the gym and started working a bus route. And today, how many ever years later, he's still working a bus route. Still bringing kids to church, teaching in junior church, cleaning the church on Friday night. Why did he work out all those times? Because he wanted to get stronger. Why do you come to church? So you can hold fast. So you can get stronger, so you can build muscle. You see, that's what God wants you to do. At Johns Hopkins University, a medical researcher discovered that attending church is good for your health. His research found that the risk of fatal heart disease is almost twice as high for a non-churchgoer. Want to have a healthy heart? Get in church. He went on, Dr. George W. Comstock of the university went on and observed that a clean life that is usually associated with regular church attendance appears to statistically, drastically lower the incidence of all other major diseases. Not only is going to church going to help you spiritually, it helps you physically. You didn't even know that. I don't know. That's what this professor from Johns Hopkins decided. But you know what? I know it'll help you spiritually. You need strength to stand in the storm? Be in church. You need strength to overcome temptation? Be in church. You need strength to overcome and last through the next test? Be in church. You need strength to endure through the night? Be in church. You need faith to trust God? Be in church. You need faith to follow through? Be in church. Because this is where your faith is forged, one brick at a time. And God will build you and grow. Not only is it a place of concentration and a place of construction where God wants to build you, but it's a place of connection. Look at verse number, chapter 10 and verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, let us consider one another. I'm working on a message right now. I don't know when I'll be able to preach it, but I'm going to deal with the dangers and the pitfalls of getting connected on social media. We'll deal with that at some point. But you know, Christians, we ought to be getting connected at the church. We ought to build connections at church. It's a place to get connected. When you get saved, your life changes. The power of his resurrection changes you from the inside out. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, when you stop doing the things that you used to do, when you stop going the places that you used to go, when you start living right, you won't have to get new friends. Your old friends, I mean, you won't have to get rid of your old friends because your old friends are going to leave you. You won't have to tell them to go away because they don't want to be around you. You'd stop talking like you used to. You stop watching the dirty shows. You stop going to those wicked places. And they'll be like, what happened to you? Why are you so different? Why don't you go with us down here anymore? And all of a sudden, they're not as good of friends as you thought. The reason is because those old connections were built around an old lifestyle. Those connections were built around that kind of living. When you stop drinking and you stop cussing and you stop going those places and you stop talking that way and you stop participating in those activities and you stop engaging in those types of conversations, when you let the Holy Spirit start to change you from the inside out, they don't want much to do with that. You find that you just don't have that much in common. Some people that you used to have a lot in common with, but that connection was built around an old lifestyle. We need to build some connections around a new lifestyle. We need to build some connections, live in a new way. We need to build some new lives around new activities that would give us some new friends. That's why we encourage you to come to a pancake breakfast, so that you can get some connections in the church. So that you can get some connections built around some godly activities. So you can get some connections built around doing something right is why we encourage you to come to Pray and Play on a Friday night. Because you're doing something that you don't have to go home and feel bad about afterwards. That's why we encourage you to come to the 4th of July activity here at church. That's why we encourage you to come by and participate in something on Memorial Day, or why we encourage you to come and be a part of work party, or to get out here and be here for a fifth Sunday fellowship. Why do we do all this stuff? It's not because those that are serving don't have anything else they would rather do. It's because we're trying to build an environment, a place in which you can build connections around a new activity, with people that believe like you believe, with people that love God like you love God, with people that want to serve God and honor God like you want to serve God and honor God. And you can start to have some friendships and some relationships, and you can build some connections in the church instead of out in the world with people that would want to tear you down, with people that want to mock your religion, your relationship with God. You know, in church is where you're going to find friends that believe like you do. This is where you find friends that will support you through the storm. Here it says we're to consider one another. We're to care for one another. At times we may even cry with one another. We may even have to carry one another. You know, your connections in this life, they're either going to carry you or they're going to crush you spiritually. Your connections are going to either carry you or crush you spiritually. If you find that you've got some connections out in the world that are pulling you down spiritually, you need to sever those connections and you need to come and spend some time at God's house where you can get some connections with God's people. Amen? That's what we need. That's why we invite people over to our house. That's why we say, hey, if you're not doing anything this afternoon, not today, another time. Today's been busy enough, but we say, hey, if you're not busy, come over to the house. We're having lunch for whoever wants to show up. Only reason is so that we would have a time that we can build some connections, build some relationships inside of God's house where we can encourage one another, consider one another, and get to know one another. That's what it's for. I know you know this already. Geese fly in a V formation. How many of you knew that already? Yeah. Well, you probably don't know the percentage of increase that they get by doing so. So, are you ready for it? 71%. A goose flying by itself is limiting his distance by 71%. When he flies in a V formation, what happens is the flap of his wings provide lift for the guy behind him. And they can fly 71% further when they're flying together. That's what the church does for you spiritually. That's why you got to be in God's house. You say, man, this Christian life's hard. That's why you got to be in God's house. It is hard. You need somebody who occasionally is going to flap their wings and give you some lift so you can keep going for God. And then the day will come when they might be dragging behind. You know, if you watch them, they switch places. The lead goose scoots back in the back, and he no longer is taking the brunt of it. Sometimes you might have to scoot back in the back. Maybe you've been out there pushing a little too long, and maybe you're getting weary. But somebody else in the church can provide some lift for you. That's what the church is for. It's a place of connection. This is where you'll be provoked to love and good works. Pastor Derek was talking about this verse last month in junior church, and he talked about to the kids, he's like, okay, now, how many of you know what the word provoked means? And a bunch of them did. They knew what the word provoked means. And he said, and then he says, now, how many of you are good at provoking your brother or your sister? And of course, a number of them were quick to jump on that. And then he finished the verse and he said, to love and good works. They're real good at provoking them, but to love and good works? That's what you'll be provoked to at church. You see, the wrong kind of connections are going to be good at provoking you to other things. But in the church house, you'll be provoked to love and to good works. Your connections will encourage you, inspire you, and provoke you to do and be what God wants you to be. Your friendships will either carry you or crush you spiritually.